So I saw this map and it was about the plan that it was a design. It showed how much land God had planned to give to the Israelites. And when they never had that much land. The closest was David. Who during his reign was able to extend all the way to almost the border of Egypt. And maybe, so David took maybe about 75 to 80%. Outside of that, Israel has never been able to take the land that God gave to them. Why am I talking about these things? Because the Bible says that we are like the Israel in the Old Testament is like the church. It's like the church in the New Testament. So where God brought them out of Egypt to take them into the promised land, it's exactly like the church. Where God brought the church out of the world. You know, the Bible says that we've been called to inherit a blessing. See, to inherit a blessing. So that's God's purpose for getting us saved, is to inherit a blessing. It's not just to be, you know, like, to be cool. It's to inherit what? A blessing. So when you look at their examples, the Bible says the things that are written are for our examples. They are for our examples. So those examples are written so that we can see them and learn. It's not just so that we, because sometimes people will miss the point. God brought these guys out to give them all that place. Everywhere, all the land that you see today in the Middle East, most of that land belongs to Israel. That's God's plan. But they never were able to possess the land. One, because of complacence. They had become complacent. They had become complacent. When they got in, oh wow, vineyards they didn't plant, wells they did not dig, houses they didn't build. They were so happy and they settled down and they were comfortable. They never tried to go forward and take what God actually had for them. So they became relaxed. And then, you see, and that's a problem because God said that if you don't drive out those people, he said they'll become thorns in your sides. It says that they will become thorns in your eyes, pricks in your eyes, thorns in your sides. And he said they will frustrate you in the land. They'll frustrate you in the land. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. Because they wouldn't go and chase out these people from the land, they stayed there. All the ites, the Gittites, the Canaanites, the Philistines, all those people were there. They tormented Israel all the days of their life. The Midianites, everybody was there. They stayed there. So by the time that Joshua died, then they said that all the other elders, like Caleb and all those, when they also died, now Israel virtually forgot the Most High God. They forgot the Most High God, and now they were in the land struggling, and suddenly the Midianites will oppress them and all those things. And they went, and God had to raise up judges. And these were not short periods of captivity. They would be in captivity for about 20 years. And then finally, when they get tired, they will groan, and God will send them a deliverer. And then they'll have peace for maybe 5 years. And then captivity will come again, and it will be there for 25 years. The Bible says one particular king, the Bible says that he had chariots of iron. And he oppressed Israel so much that says they groaned and their groaning came up to God. Again, God always sent them a deliverer. But why the deliverer frees them from the captivity? They never thought, let's take the rest of the land. No, it was always, they always go back and then they relax. And this is something the Bible says that it's a warning to the body of Christ. That there's so much. Someone was saying that, okay, so Jesus talked about certain things. For example, he talked about the hundredfold. He said, where is he going to be the hundredfold? He's not going to be the hundredfold in heaven. When he gets to heaven, what will that hundredfold do to him in heaven? He's not going to need it. Hallelujah. You're not going to need 100 mansions in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So these are very important things, and we have to put our faith to work. Put our faith to work and be deliberate about it. You have to be deliberate about putting your faith to work because it's something that you shouldn't be laid back about. Paul said, I labored abundantly more than they all. He said, yet not I. Okay? But his grace which were abounded towards me. See, so he says he labored. The grace was made available, and then what did he do? He went forward. He went forward. So there are things to take. And what the enemy tries to do is to tell you that, oh, you don't have this, but at least you have this. Not in the sense of gratitude, no. Complacency. That is okay. And even to tell you that it is some form of greed to go and in pursuit of greater things. So God was actually, this was God talking to Joshua. Why would God be so personally interested in the land that the people occupied? Think about it. He's in heaven. But he's so concerned. He said there yet remained much land. And he began to enumerate all the lands, all the boundaries of all the nations. And because they didn't go for those lands, all the wars Israel has fought have been because of this land that they didn't take. All the wars that Israel has fought. But if they had gone forward and possessed what belonged to them, they would not have had to engage with some of the people. They would not have had problems. But because they decided to be what? I call it complacency. So God does not want his people to be complacent. Sometimes, to get a picture, you get that picture from the word of God. See, it's the word of God that shows you that, oh, this is also possible. This is also possible. Look at Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. So he decided to walk. He was walking with God. You know, until that, they said, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Okay, by the time that, I think, Enoch came, said, men, at that time, men began to call upon the Lord. So then you had Enoch who came in. And the Bible says Enoch was a prophet. Enoch was a prophet. Do you know that Enoch was a prophet? Was a prophet. The Bible tells, you didn't know that Enoch was a prophet. I was lying. Do you know that Enoch was a prophet? I've mentioned it before. It's in the New Testament. I'll show you later. Okay. So, Enoch was a prophet. And being a prophet, he could see. So, he could see. God showed him. So, he saw all the way to the end of time. And then he saw the rapture. And you know what he did? He said, I have it now. He said, you have it now. And he partook in the rapture. Thousands of years in advance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Once you can see it, you can believe for it. This is why the word of God is so important. Once you can see it, you can believe for it. It is not written for you to admire anybody. Once you can see it in the scriptures, it is possible. Hallelujah. It is possible. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland the other day. He was talking about where Kenneth Copeland Ministries is headquartered. And he said, it sits on 1,320 acres of land. Okay, 1,320 plus acres of land. And he said, when he got the land, it was built, it was a military base that was built for the Second World War, the US military. And their plan was to hold about 18,000 troops with their everything, like on that base. They ended up keeping only about 8,000 troops there for a short period because the war ended sooner than they thought. So when he wanted the land, he went, God told him, took him out there and showed him the land. So he went to look for the owner of the land. It was an older man. Like a tenant said, he told him, he said, the Lord has need of it. That was what God told him to tell him. He said, the Lord has need of it. So he said, immediately the man heard that, he began to want to give the place up, but he didn't know how. The man said, well, it's for sale. So he was selling it for, I think, $5 million or $6 million or whatever it is. And then the man said, after they worked up the bill, he said, he should take the first $1 million off because he would pay the $1 million. Okay. Now, on that property, he said they have enough natural gas to last for 200 years. Natural gas. alone, natural gas alone. So it seems that God has been always interested in real estate. Have you noticed? It's always giving people land, promising them land. God has always been into real estate. God is interested in real estate. He's interested in how much real estate these people own. Because he didn't make the land for the devil. God didn't create this land for Satan. He didn't create this land for the Illuminati or Satanists or whatever it is. He made the land for his man, for Adam. Hallelujah. So, but the desire has to be there. That's one thing that I'm talking about. There has to be what? Desire. Desire is key. It's a trigger. It's an important trigger because that is what pushes you in search. Or that's what makes you want to go and get a hold of what God has made available. When there's no desire, it's difficult to advance. And desire must be what? Strong. And that desire can be created through a vision. It can also be created through what? The Word of God. This is why reading the Bible is so important. Hallelujah. Amen. This is why reading the Bible is so important. You would find, it's like Jerry Savelle. So Jerry Savelle said, God told him, maybe in the 1960s or late 1950s, God told him that the ministry that he had to have a jet. He cannot fulfill that ministry without owning like private jets. So he got to a point where he had been ministering for a long time. Right now he's been in the ministry for about 53 years. So he got to a point where he gave his jet away. And he was no longer interested in jets. Like he felt he had arrived. So one day, the Lord said to him that, what are you going to do about what I told you? Because I told you that you are not going to be able to fulfill the ministry without owning having a jet, because there are places that he goes to that there's no airport, no connecting flight. He has to be there, and the next he has to be somewhere else. If you don't have a jet, you cannot fulfill that ministry. So he said, he wasn't really thinking about it. He said, okay. So now he had to begin to stir up his faith again. He had to begin to stir up his faith again in order to what? To fulfill the ministry. Of course, once he stirred up his faith, the new one came. It's almost like the things are waiting for you to call for them. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's not possible to have faith without knowing what God has made available. Okay? It's not possible to have faith without knowing what God has made available. Many times what believers' mistake for faith is wishing for something. That's not faith. Okay? I like one definition of faith that one man of God, he says that it's a response of the human spirit to the word of God. So you have to know what God has said. What has God said? What has God said in his word? Now, if he has said it, then your response is yes. Once that response is yes, then what happens? It becomes possible. Hallelujah. There's also the tendency to defer till later what God has said. To defer it till later. Recently, I was thinking to myself that I remember when God spoke to Elisha, to the one, said, a year by this time, you will embrace the Sabbath. It's possible to keep deferring the fulfillment because it's a whole year. do you get the picture? It's a whole year. But when you bring it closer, and maybe, so if a year she was going to embrace, they should be pregnant in 3 months. Do you realize that? Your faith actually, there's more tension on your faith when it's a shorter timeline. Have you noticed that? Yeah, because if it's within a year, any time, you can, even though he said you will embrace the sun in a year, you can just keep deferring it until whenever. Finally, in the 8th month, you say, oh, even God can do the miraculous. The child can be born in 2 months. No. Are you with me? So it's important to have what? To always keep your faith engaged. always keep your faith engaged. And I said, anything that you see that has been written, it means that it is possible. Once it is here, it is possible. Glory to God. One man of God was sharing something. He said he was on a road when he was getting into approaching a traffic light. Suddenly, there was a vehicle coming towards him, directly towards him, split second. And then immediately, it came to him, I used the name. So he said, in the name of Jesus. Now when he said in the name of Jesus, split second, he saw that he kept going. He had not made collision. Then what happened to the vehicle? In his rear view, the vehicle was now behind him. You see? I was now behind him. So there was what? A transportation. Hallelujah. So God wants us to put our faith to use, not to be relaxed about it. And this is so important because there's it says, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Without movement, the gospel cannot spread. Without movement, the gospel cannot go forward, because God said it is through prosperity that my cities will spread abroad. Hallelujah. So you have to begin to stretch. You have to begin to look farther. You have to begin to expand the vision. Be ready to look forward. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't be like the Israelites. They got complacent. They were so content with that land that they had gotten. Because remember that at that time, their numbers, you see, look at Abraham. That's why he's called the father of faith. God said, as far as your eyes can see, as far as your eyes can see. And this Abraham was alone. At that time, it was just Abraham and his wife. They didn't have any child. Abraham and his wife. And God said, as far as your eyes can see. Now, Romans is telling us that Abraham looked with the eyes of faith and saw the whole world. What on earth did he want to do with the whole world? What did he need the whole world for? But that's why he's called the father of faith. Because he saw far ahead. He could have seen just to the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah. That would have been enough. But the Bible says that he saw, he lifted up his eyes. But he was not looking in the physical. He was looking through the eyes of faith. And God showed him everything. And he received it. The Bible says that he became heir of the world. The Bible says the promise that he should be heir of the world. But God didn't start off by saying, offering him, he said that you, whatever you see, contrast that to the king who got the prophet told him, take your arrow, shoot it through the window. He shot. Then he says, now take your arrow and strike the ground. And the Bible says he struck three times and stopped. And that was the end of it. It says, the prophet was angry. He said, why didn't you strike 5, 6, or 7 times? He said, then you would have completely annihilated Assyria. But now you defeat them only 3 times. Because again, he was not seeing ahead. And you can't say he didn't know. Because when he shot the arrow through the window, the prophet said, the arrow of God. The prophet spoke. So he knew what he was doing. It's not that he had no idea. He knew what he was doing, but he thought, okay, at least this is enough for me and my family, and at least my term. How much longer do I have to reign? Even if I reign for 40 years, at least. Do you get it? So that's what happened. But when Abraham had an opportunity, he saw everything and received it. The Bible says that by faith, Abraham, the promise that he should be heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the works of the law, but through the promise of what? Faith, the righteousness of faith. So this is an important thing. So the vision has to be wide. And like I was saying, at that time Abraham was just he and his wife, and maybe the people in his household, and that was it. So when these guys got into the promised land, and God gave them the lands, the cities, and everywhere, and Caleb came and got Hebron and all these places, they were more than content. To them, they had more than they could ever spend in their lifetime. But God was seeing beyond them. And I'm saying that David And even David, if not that David got into depression, getting to the end of his days, David would have taken all the territory that God had planned for Israel. All the land that God promised Israel. Only David came close. Came close, about 80% of the land. That's a lot though. Considering that when he took over, they didn't have much. Hallelujah. So that's it. So God expects his people to keep what? Keep going. There's always more to be had. There's always more land. He got told Joshua. He said, Joshua, at this time that you are about to retire, 110 years of old, that you're about to retire. He said, there remained much land. Much land. And the guys were all there. The Philistines with their five kings, they were all over there. And Israel could have completely exterminated these people and taken the land. But they did not. So they created a problem for generations to come. They created a problem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You'll see that when David took the throne, he didn't just go and settle. You read his account. Step by step, you'll see that the Bible says he got to where the Jebusites were, Jerusalem. So the Jebusites were there. And David at that time didn't have a large army per se. But he got there, and the Jebusites said, ah, who's that guy? I said, well, it's David. They said, ah, even the crippled people and the lame people in this city can get rid of him. So David was mad. David was mad. And then he said, ah, which of his people will go and take the land? I think it was Joab who led the charge. So they took the place, and David renamed it to Jerusalem. Jerusalem. But you know, Jerusalem was the original name, right? Was the original name all during the times of the king of Salem, Melchizedek. Okay? And can you imagine that land had fallen into the land into the hands of the heathen? The land had fallen into the hands of the heathen. People who were godless, didn't know God, didn't appreciate God, people who were serving Baals and all kinds of things. That also happened. There are many inheritances that belong to God's people that they have allowed to slip into the hands of the wicked. But God wants his people to take what belongs to them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't be in a place and say that, oh, at least I have this one. But God's plan is for you to have everything. That's why he says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens. Now, spiritual blessing doesn't mean that you get to enjoy them only when you get to heaven. When you get to heaven, you don't need any blessing there. You don't need any blessing in heaven. You know that. The place is perfect. Everything is there. You don't need any special blessing. The blessing, that empowerment, is only required here. To dominate is here. In heaven, there's nothing to dominate. Everything is already compliant with the will of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says he must reign until his enemies have made his footstool. Now, how is it going to reign when the man is seated in heaven? How is it going to reign here? The only way he reigns is through his body. That's why the Bible says he's the head and we are his body. So if he's going to reign here, the only way he's going to reign here is to reign through his body. When he says he must reign, he can only reign here through his body, the body of Jesus Christ, which is here, which is the church. So, if he's going to reign, he has to reign through us. He said he must reign until all his enemies are made what? His footstool. So that means that it is the duty of the church to subjugate all those enemies that have already been defeated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, to think that the people that the land that God wanted Israel to take, it wasn't any complex procedure that they were supposed to engage. They were not supposed to go and learn Kung Fu or Tai Chi or anything. All they had to do was, the Bible says that God said, I, the Lord, I go ahead of you to drive out the inheritance of the land. He said, I go ahead. He said, I'll send the hornet ahead of you. Even the hornets, God was going to send those hornets to go and drive out the people. So all they had to do was to advance. That was all they had to do. To advance. Once they advanced, the people would fall before them. The people would run from them. The people would give up the land. But they never did that. They were complacent. At least they had a good place to stay. At least they had a business that was going well. Even if they pass it down, then the fourth generation will be taken care of. They had become so complacent that they did not make a move to go and take what was still waiting for them.
When you notice, you whether the people who are causing the problems in the world, they all have money. They have a lot of it. Someone will say, ah, why you are saying that, oh, at least if I have this 2 million, I spend it 12,000 a year. Now, while you are making that calculation, the guy with the billions is not satisfied. He wants to control everybody in the world. He wants to buy governments. He wants to buy industries. He wants to be in charge of things.
And then, who can help him fulfill it? Only Satan.
So he has formed alliances with Satan. But God, our senior partner, he's waiting on you. He said, if you will advance, I'll terrorize this people before you. We'll give up the land. We'll give up the industries. We'll get out of your way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there's something that God wants his people to do. He wants them to what? Advance.
They're supposed to take the land.
In fact, God was the one who kept the land for the people. He said, if you read Genesis chapter 6, the Bible talks about there were giants in those days and be after, okay? So there were giants in those days and afterwards. What does that mean? That means that in the days of Noah, there were giants. They were all eliminated in the flood. But then after those days, some giants came again. That's what it means by there were giants in those days and beyond and after that. So there were giants who came again. That's how come they had the land. Those giants, they took the land, the Canaanites. They took the Canaanites' land. They were there. They took over the land. He says, wells that were so deep, houses that were huge, vineyards. So all that while, they were working for God's people. They were working for what? For God's people. So God has set something in motion. He was preparing the place for his people. That when they come, the place will be ready. But then when they came, rather, they were afraid of the people. They were afraid of the people. So they sat there for 25 years. And they didn't do anything about it. They didn't do anything about it. And there's no impasse, you know. There's always movement in the spirit. Either outward or inward. So if Satan is not satisfied to say that he has 90% of the land, let God's people have 10%. No. Whatever percentage he has, he wants more. So you too must never be satisfied. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's why Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So who is the one advancing?
We are the ones advancing, not the ones retreating.
Because gates are for defense. So if the gates of hell will not prevail, so who is the one on the defense?
It is the gates of hell. It is hell that is on the defense. Not us retreating. No, it is the gates of hell that are what? Trying to protect their territory. It says they will not withstand the advancement of the church.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And sometimes we have to get into the Word of God and see what is possible. And see what is possible. Joshua got into the land when they signed that bad treaty with the Gibeonites.
Soon after that, there was a declaration of war. When the declaration of war happened, he had committed himself. He had signed that. He didn't read the fine print. It was like an African delegation. He didn't read what the agreement said. He signed it. So now he had to go and defend the people.
He had to go and defend the people in a war that he had no business getting into.
God said, don't worry, I've given this into your hands.
And he took them. So I like Joshua, you know. He began to expand. He thought, no, I can finish this battle and I can completely annihilate these people. And the Bible says he called for the sun to stand still and the moon to stand still. And exactly as he said, it happened. After he defeated those people, read the account. Joshua kept going city after city, kingdom after kingdom. He conquered all of them. And these people kept at it until they had enough for their generations, and then they relaxed. Today, you are going to expand your vision. Hallelujah. You're going to expand your vision.
The people who have left their mark in history.
Sometimes you read the account and you wonder, what was Alexander the Great looking for in this part of the world?
What exactly was he looking for here? Because he had already conquered everything he needed. Why does he keep going? Where does he keep going? So there's something that you have to decide, that you are not going to stop moving until what happens?
It says until all his enemies have been made his what? Footstool.
Glory to God. Amen. Until all his enemies have been made his footstool. So this is so important for the believer. And you are going to make a fine tuning to your belief system, your expectations and everything, and realize that no matter what, there's still more land to be had.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's more land to be had. Glory to God.
There's more land to be had. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to pray shortly, but this is what God is telling us. And at this time, all that we require has been made available.
All that we require has been made available.
Amen.
All that we have to do is to step up in advance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Once you step forward, that's it.
So that God will cause the enemies that rise up against you to fall before your face.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God will cause them to fall.
It says when you go out against armies that are larger than yours.
Okay, the Israelites didn't come out of Egypt with horses and all that. He says, but when you go out, Moses told them before he obeyed God's command to die. He said, when you go out against your enemies and you see an army larger than yours, you see an army that is larger than yours, well-trained armies, and you see horses and chariots, he said, don't be afraid of them. He says, don't be afraid of them, because it is the Lord your God that goes ahead of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He goes ahead of you to give you the victory. He goes ahead of you. So once you see them that they are there, you know that God has gone ahead of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And they've been delivered into your hands.
Amen.
They've been delivered into your hands.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, like, people have believed this and have taken Jonathan, the son of King Saul. You know, Jonathan, instead of following David, he followed King Saul and finally died. He shouldn't have died, because he knew where he should have been. But what happened? Anyway, so Saul went to fight the Philistines. And the Bible says that the Israelites didn't even have swords. They didn't have swords to fight with. What were they going to fight with? Maybe sharp stones or what? Like, what were they going to use for it? Or wood? Sticks? I wonder how Saul also, like, bred his own kind of army. Anyway, so he was going to fight the Philistines, but it says that they didn't even have there was no blacksmith in Israel. Think about it. Only two people had swords in Israel. Saul and his son. Saul and Jonathan. And they were going to fight the Philistine army. And then to compound the thing, Saul decided that nobody should eat or drink until he had defeated the Philistines. What plan he was going to execute, nobody knows. But anyway, so Jonathan, the Bible says, and his armor bearer, they came upon a garrison of the Philistines. And Jonathan said, what do we have to lose? He said, it is nothing with God, whether to save by many or by few. There were just two of them, Jonathan and his assistant, two. And they were going against the garrison of the Philistines. And he said that, when I advance, and then you follow me. That's what he said. He said, you follow me. So the Bible says that as Jonathan advanced, they fell before him. Two of them, they fell before him. Two of them went forward, and the people, the Philistines, fell before him. And they overran that entire garrison. They overran the entire garrison. And they won a victory. They had a victory that day. Because somebody decided to what? To take up God's word. And to move forward. And when they moved forward, they took the victory. Hallelujah. They won the victory.
They won the victory.
Glory to God.
Yeah. It's always the person who says, I can have it now. Now. Not one day, but now. Right now. So they went forward and they took the land. The Bible says they got not the land by their own strength or by their own spear. So they didn't go there because they were skilled. The only skill I think they had, very strong, maybe they probably had bricklaying skills, because in Egypt that's what they were doing. These guys were slaves, they were laying bricks. So if anything,
maybe they could throw bricks as well. But
in terms of skill to go and fight, I don't think they had that much. The Bible says God himself said that if these guys go and meet war, they will turn back to Egypt. So, because it was an 11-day walk into the promised land. But God didn't lead them by that way, because they were fighters on the way, and God knew their hearts. They would just send a delegation and go back and tell the Egyptians that, oh, we are sorry, this was not our plan.
You know, we were minding our business when this Moses fellow came, and we followed him. We are sorry, like that. They would send a delegation, and then would have gone back. God said no.
So he sent them by a longer road, so that they would begin to see his miracles one after another, after another. Red Sea open, water from the rock, manna from heaven, you know, bitter waters become sweet, and then defeating the Midianites step by step, and then the Amalekites step by step. So by the time they got to the place, they knew that they had proven the word. The Bible says that the word of God, they are like silver, tried in the furnace 7 times. Okay, so they have been proven. They were not the first. The advantage we have right now is that we are not the first. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We are not the first to come on the scene. God has taken people weaker than us and has brought them into his promises over and over and over again. So all these things are written, the Bible says, for our example, so that we can see that it has happened before. No one said God has still lost the recipe for the manna. Has God lost the recipe? He has not lost the recipe. Has God, they said, has the arm of the Lord become weak? Has it become short? He asked Moses. Because Moses, despite saying everything, when God said, I'm going to give the guys meat, Moses said, even if you kill all the livestock in the wilderness for these people, would that be enough for them? And then the Lord asked Moses, has the arm of the Lord become short? You know, has the arm of the Lord become short? So where we are, this story has been told many times. It's not the first time. The story has been told time and again. And every time, God has always come through for his people. God has always helped his people. He has always fulfilled his word. But it's always been a struggle for him, because to find somebody who is willing, somebody who stands in faith and says that this is mine and I'll have it today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll have it today. Because the point is, if this thing doesn't work, wouldn't you want to find out now? If it does not work, you'd rather want to find out now than later, isn't it? Yeah. So David figured that, I'm going to take on this Goliath right now. It either worked or not. He was anointed. The words had been spoken over him. So if this does not work, it's better if David found out now. At least he died trying to defend his country. Hallelujah.
So I said that what? It's about the desire, and it has to be there. The vision is the word of God that opens your eyes to see what is what? Possible. And once you see it, you say, this one too can happen for me now. Hallelujah. And you say, I'll have it now. 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 Hallelujah.
That's why it says, now faith is. And I told you that the Hebrew, or the original Hebrew didn't have future tense. So all that is called a language of faith. Past and present, that's all. That's why I said now faith is in the Greek, in the New Testament. The Old Testament that you read, I will make you, I will, it's I have. It's the translators who chose those tenses. There was no future tense there. Anytime God spoke, it was I have. It is done. It is settled. I have made you. The Bible says, before God, whom he believed, who quickens the dead, and cause the things that be not as though they were. It says that when God told him to go and sacrifice Isaac, you know, people have this picture, Abraham didn't sleep that night and all kinds of things. That's not the Bible, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Abraham judged that if Isaac was a child of the promise, and God said, go and burn him as a living, as a burnt offering, then God was able to resurrect him from the ashes. The promise was not to another son, it was this one. So if God said, burn him, God is going to raise him up. So he told the servant, he said, you wait here, the boy and I will go and worship and we will return to you. He was not going to leave the mountain without his son.
Abraham was not going to leave the mountain without his son. He fully planned to return with Isaac.
God just stopped him from killing the boy so that nobody after that would ever say that God told him to go and sacrifice another human being. Do you understand? Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's it.
So it says that even God who could raise the dead, it says that at that time, he didn't consider his own body which was now dead. It says, Abraham considered not his own body now dead.
Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The two candidates for the miracle were both not qualified. Neither of them had what it took to produce the result. Neither of them. Abraham, his body was dead. Sarah, her womb was dead.
But the Bible says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was strong in faith.
He says he didn't look to consider means to give it your attention. He didn't give it his attention. He was not looking at his body. He was not looking at his own ability. He was not looking at whom he knew. He was not looking at what he could do. The question is, the one who gave the promise, does he have the resources to back it? And that's the question. Once that answer is given, it solves the problem. It's the check you are holding. It's not the one carrying the check. It is the person who wrote that check. That's it. He said, I have made you. And exactly according to the word of the Lord, it happened. It happened. He said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't stagger through unbelief. And then I said, as I was feeling on it, you know, every time, sometimes you don't have to try to defend God. The scriptures will explain what the Bible is saying. So, but then you read about Abraham. First, he went and got Ishmael. Then, God came to him again and said, Sarah will have a son. And then the Bible says, Abraham laughed and said, oh, it's okay. Lord, you have tried. Said, God, you have tried for me. You brought me from Ur of the Chaldees, brought me to this strange land. You helped me to go recover Lot. I defeated those four kings. You have tried. Said, God, you have tried. You let Ishmael live before you. God said, no. Ishmael is not going to be your heir, but one that your own wife will have. Isaac, this is the one that is going to be your heir. So, now, the Bible says that he didn't stagger. He didn't say he didn't stagger. He said he didn't stagger through unbelief.
Do you understand?
He didn't stagger through unbelief.
Glory to God. Because sometimes the enemy wants to tell you that you know you don't like you don't believe and all those things.
He didn't stagger through unbelief.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says he judged God faithful. He says through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive. Sarah herself received strength to conceive.
Yeah.
She herself received strength to conceive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Was delivered of a child when she was past age. So it says that all these people, they are written for a reason. Their stories are written for a reason so that we can see them. Those who through faith and patience obtained the promise. Okay, through faith and patience, they obtained the promises. What God said, it came to pass. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It came to pass. You look at some of the things, like
Peter, he says that he was going to the temple with John, and then he met the guy who was crippled. And when he saw the guy, either what Jesus told them was going to work now, or it wasn't going to work. But this was the first time after the Holy Ghost came on them that they were going to perform a miracle. They had done some before, but Jesus had died. Now he had left, he was not around. So this thing, he was going to prove it. They were going to prove it. He said, look on us. The Bible says the man looked on them expecting to receive something. Expecting to receive something. And then when he gave the word, the man didn't get up. He should have just continued walking as if he hadn't said anything. He grabbed him by the hand and pulled him up.
The Bible says the man leapt to his feet and stood and walked and ran and jumped.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It came to pass exactly as God has said. So there remained yet much land to be possessed. Hallelujah. You know what God has said before you?
There's still much land to be possessed.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's stand and begin to pray. You are going to pray. And you are going to ask the Lord to enhance your vision so that you can see. So that you can see. Like to Joshua, God actually had to show him the plan. God said, Joshua, this is actually the plan. But you are living in 50% of the land that I gave to the people. Now divide the land. Divide the land. And then when God told Joshua to divide the land, the Bible kept saying, and Moses divided the land. Moses divided the land. You read it. The plan had been given already. This was what Moses told them before he left. And yet, they could not possess the land. They didn't possess the land. You know, Israel of the Old Testament is like the church in the New Testament. Just as God gave them a promise, God has given the church a promise. He said, all spiritual blessings have been given to us. All of it. Not some. And you are going to expand your vision. You are going to talk to the Lord. You've enjoyed some, but there is more land to be had. You've enjoyed some, but there is more to be taken. So you are going to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, let my vision expand. Let the boundaries be removed. That's one thing the Word of God does for you. It removes the boundaries. The boundaries, the fences around your vision. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Dear Lord, that you grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being flooded with light. That we may know the hope to which you have called us. You have called us to a lively hope. A lively hope, Lord. So we can see what is possible. We can behold what is possible. We can see what you have made available in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we will not be complacent. Let that spirit of complacency depart in the name of Jesus. That we can see what is possible. That there's a lot more that is possible. That there's a lot more land to be had. There's a lot more to be possessed in the name of Jesus. That we will not limit you. He said, they limited the Holy One of Israel. But we will not limit what you can do in our lives. We will not limit what you will do in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we take the limits off you, Lord. We take the limits off. That we declare that we can see beyond what the physical can comprehend. We can see way ahead. We can see in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That even as you said it, Lord. Even as you said it. Even as you said it. It says that they limited you, but we will not limit you, Lord. Because we have the same spirit of faith. The same spirit of faith. We declare that what you have spoken, we possess it in the name of Jesus. We possess it in the name of Jesus. The land, the wealth, the increase, the people, the industry, the nations, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you say that as we advance, you go ahead of us. You set the hornet ahead of us to drive out the inhabitants of the land. To drive them out before us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You drive them out before us. Oh, in the name of Jesus. We go forward, Lord. We go forward in the name of Jesus. We go forward in the mighty name of Jesus. We go forward. We go forth in the name of Jesus. We go forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, I pray for everyone here today, Lord, that you open the eyes of everyone present here to see that there's still much land to be had. In the name of Jesus, to see that there's much land to be had. That spirit of complacency will be driven far away from your people.
Amen.
But we'll see that there's much land to be possessed in the name of Jesus. And we'll advance and take possession of it.
Amen.
In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We have taken over owning what you have made available to us.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And there's so much more available. There's so much more, Lord. Since you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings, all blessings, Lord, administered by the Holy Ghost, we possess in the mighty name of Jesus. We possess, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. You know what Abigail said about David? She says, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. What battles was David fighting? He was fighting the Moabites, the Amalekites, the Philistines. And some of it was unprovoked. David was the one on the offense. He was on the defense in a few battles. It was then the Philistines who dared to go after David. Outside, once he crushed them, he went every round the clock. He had an expedition going on. He was taking nations. I told you that it was only David. During his kingdom, they had about 80% of the land that God had demarcated for Israel. Still, there was still much land that they didn't get inside. There was still much land to be had. In that industry, God said there's much land, much more land to be had. In that profession, God said there's still much more land to be had. And he says that as you advance, the Spirit of God goes ahead of you to give you the advantage, to give you the advantage. He gives you the advantage. The advantage. He gives you the advantage. So that you are not just there whiling away the time and being complacent. You're not going to be complacent. You're going to advance. You're going to advance and take new territories. There are new places to be taken. The Lord said, there are new places to be taken. You can take more. You can have more. There's more available to you. There's more available, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. So according to his power that works in us, the Spirit of God that came upon the Israelites and brought them into a new place and gave them a new territory, that gave them all the land that they had, that same Spirit is working in you to give you new places. New places, visions that you've not had, you'll begin to have them. And the drive to go after them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The expansion. 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 You have to begin to look beyond nations. You have to begin to look across borders. Across borders. Across borders. Across borders. Say, break camp and advance. Break camp and advance. Break camp and advance in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are breaking camp and you advance in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory in the name of Jesus. You know that you can be there. You can. You know, there's something we used to say. But, you know, as someone you hear was that suddenly the limitations get removed. And then you come there and say, oh, your children will be always the head in their class. They are small class of 20 students, or 50, or 100. How about they are number one in the world?
Amen.
What about in that subject, they are number one in the world?
Amen.
Do you know there are kids like that?
Yeah.
Yes. What about when they put the countries together, they top.
Amen.
Their class is too small.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And sometimes that's one thing that happens when you fellowship with the Lord, then he changes. When you find yourself asking to be first in their class, you find that it's funny. It's tasting funny in your mouth. Because God is saying,
How many are in the class? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I said it about head. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Yes. He said, yes, hello. You want to be ahead of your contemporaries. Contemporaries, how many are your contemporaries? Talk about generations. Like David, God said, I've made you a name, like the names of the greats of the earth. That's what God said about David. He said, like the names of the greats. And who are the greats? Don't kid yourself. He's not talking about any joker somewhere. He's talking about people like Enoch, who made their names into the book. Talking about like Abraham, Isaac. No wonder God, who used to call himself the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, he appeared to Solomon and said, God of David, your father. David's name was added also. Hallelujah. That's what we are talking about. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
So his name has become the name of the greats, one of the names of the greats. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
There's an expansion.
Amen.
There's an expansion. Amen. Glory to God. And God can take anybody who says, me, Lord, me. And God takes that person and stamps his approval upon that person and makes that person a great in the world, a great in the earth. Hallelujah. Anybody, anyone who says, me, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just thank the Lord for his word.
Thank you.
We give you praise.